Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are here to talk about nuclear disarmament. Welcome Shelby Surdick and Rich Moniak.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here. We've got a lot to cover. I'm really excited to talk to you, Shelby. But Rich, I'm going to start with you because your organization sponsors some of Shelby's efforts. You're a representative of Veterans for Peace, which is a nonprofit organization committed to abolishing war. And one of the pillars of your organization is nuclear disarmament. Is that what led you to working with Shelby?
That and Shelby's background. VFP developed a concept about 18 months ago for a youth conference. And Shelby had spent time in Skagway when she was in high school working on nuclear disarmament issues or issues around nuclear weapons and nuclear testing. And we reached out to her, and when we found out she was interested, it was like a perfect fit, you know. So she's a young person with a long history of this, which is a rare thing in today's times.
Shelby, as an advocate for nuclear disarmament, could you say more about how this sort of became your cause?
Sure. So I grew up in Skagway, and when I started high school, the Skagway High School hired a new English teacher that had previously taught on Kwajalein, a U.S. military base in the Marshall Islands. And the Marshall Islands was the site of the U.S. nuclear testing program between 1946 and 1958. So he became aware of that history and the impact that the testing had on Marshallese people and was compelled to tell that story and to educate youth about that story in the U.S. So he introduced me and other classmates to the story, and we kind of ran with it. I think that once you become connected to people whose lives have been touched by nuclear weapons testing, it's a path you can't turn back from. And so advocating for the Marshallese people in high school is how I started on this journey.
And you're also the project manager for Point Hope Youth Congress. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So as Rich mentioned, Veterans for Peace came up with the concept for this Youth Congress. It will be a five-day, a week-long conference for high school students held in Sitka, Alaska in the spring of 2020, April 6th through 10th. And the goal of the Youth Congress, as we're calling it, is to bring 40 high school participants from across the state, but also from other nuclear-impacted countries, to study the history of nuclear weapons testing, to specifically look at Alaska's own nuclear legacy, and to be enabled with skills that allow them to become storytellers and nuclear advocates. So at the Youth Congress, participants will participate in workshops that will involve visual storytelling, digital mobilization techniques, and they'll also participate in seminars or lectures where they learn about nuclear weapons policy, as well as the humanitarian and environmental costs of nuclear weapons.
What an incredible opportunity. All happening in Sitka next summer.
Next April.
Next April, excuse me.
Yep.
Wow. And so that's something that VFP is helping out with as well.
Yeah, we're going to manage that. Juno People for Peace and Justice is involved with us. We started with a small grant from the Plowshares Fund, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, nuclear disarmament advocacy groups in the world. We've got a small group here in Juneau working on it. We'll involve people, hopefully from Sitka, and to help us with the planning and other veterans throughout Alaska, as well as the national organization. Shelby is going to be going to the VFP National Convention to do a presentation workshop about her conference that she's organizing, and that'll be in August this summer. So we'll have a lot of help. And like you said in the beginning, it's one of the pillars. It's one of the five goals of VFP is to eliminate nuclear weapons.
And Shelby, you recently attended another conference, a conference at the United Nations headquarters in New York City called 2019 NPT PrepCom. Could you please explain to us, one, what that is, and two, how it fits in with the 2020 review conference of the Non-Proliferation Treaty?
Sure. So, yeah, it's a pretty big mouthful, the name of that conference. So let's back up and talk about what the NPT is.
Okay.
The NPT is the Treaty for the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, and it's a treaty that was negotiated in the 1960s, opened for signature in 1968, and entered into force in 1970. And it's a treaty whose goal was to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. At the time that it was negotiated, there were only 5 countries in the world that possessed nuclear weapons. So the goal of that treaty was to stop other states from acquiring nuclear weapons, while at the same time promoting disarmament of the nuclear weapons-armed states. So that's the grand bargain, as it's called, within that treaty, that non-nuclear weapon states will remain non-nuclear weapon states, and nuclear-armed states will, under Article 6, seek disarmament in good faith, will work towards nuclear disarmament.
Was that successful?
No, no. Well, I mean, the United States still has quite a few weapons. I mean, there has been reductions.
What about the spread?
Pakistan,
are there more non-nuclear
Pakistan,
countries?
India, North Korea, and Israel have all added weapons. North Korea was a signatory to the NPT and withdrew. Israel has never signed and never acknowledged that they've got weapons. I don't think Pakistan or India were NPT members. But we haven't disarmed enough either. And in fact, we're going in the other direction right now. We're looking at modernizing our weapons to the tune of $1 trillion over 10 years. And that's not exactly disarming.
Yeah. So when the treaty was created, countries agreed that they would meet every 5 years and have a review conference to measure whether or not countries were keeping their commitments and if they were, in fact, working towards disarmament. And so that's what the conference in 2020 will be. It's one of those 5-year reviews. It will be the 10th review cycle that they've had. And the meeting that I attended this year was a preparatory meeting in advance of that review conference. So at the meeting I attended, they were deciding on who would preside over the 2020 review conference, who would be the president, some bureaucratic things, what the agenda would be, et cetera. But they were also deciding what would be the priority issues for countries to discuss at the 2020 review conference. And there are some big nuclear issues on the table right now.
And one of them is Iran. Iran, by the terms of the treaty, which they have signed, is entitled, and all nations are entitled to develop nuclear power, nuclear technologies for power generation. And, you know, Iran was supposedly seeking to do that. Whether they were actually going to go further with their enrichment to weapons is in dispute. They claimed they weren't. We had the treaty with them that Obama's administration signed that Trump just withdrew from, which has elevated, you know, heightened the tensions around nuclear weapons again, as well as, of course, what's going on with North Korea. It's an important conference. It's got a lot of work to do. And if nobody knows about it, you know, the public isn't going to be behind it and supporting it. But it needs to be done.
Well, speaking of sharing information with the public, as much as I love to talk to you for the remainder of the hour of what you learned and saw and heard at that conference, I need to wait because you're actually doing a brown bag lunch this Friday at 12 p.m. at the Jack. Mm-hmm. And that's really one of the things you guys came to talk about today was that you'll be speaking at the Jack on Friday, June 14th, Veterans for Peace is hosting. It's a brown bag lunch. It's at the Jack. It's at noon. And you'll be talking about the conference you just attended, more on the history of the NPT and the status of the current negotiations, what it means for Alaska specifically, and some of your own ideas about how civil society can support the nuclear disarmament agenda. So people can attend that. It's free and open to the public.
Yep.
And they can bring their lunches and they can hear more from you about all about this pretty heavy topic.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I can't imagine anybody in Juneau knows anybody who's ever been to a high-level UN meeting on this subject. So Shelby is kind of maybe making history for Alaska.
That's incredible, Shelby. do you have anything you want to say about the brown bag lunch on Friday?
Just that it's an opportunity for people have questions about what's the status of current nuclear arms negotiations. I can inform them about what I learned at the conference. And If there are people in the community that want to do something to promote nuclear disarmament, but they're not quite sure who they can talk to or what sort of campaign they can join, come to that brown bag lunch and I can get them connected with resources and information.
That's wonderful. Thank you both for doing that, for setting up that event and coordinating it and opening it up to Juno. I hope you get a pretty good turnout for it. It sounds like a really, really interesting topic. And Shelby, you are doing such a good job of committing to the cause and coming back here and sharing what you've learned and spreading the word. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Shelley. And thanks for giving us an opportunity to tell Juno listeners about that treaty and about this upcoming opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Well, I learned a lot doing my research for this interview, and thank you both for being here. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here, and have a good lunch on Friday.